Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Shad and I are getting an update from Endeavor Silver, traded on the TSX under the symbol EDR and on the NYSE under the symbol EXK. We are chatting with the founder and CEO, Bradford Cook. Now, Brad, we're going to get a general update here encompassing pretty much all of the projects in Mexico. We're going to start with the production and operations, move into development properties, and then follow up and finish up this interview with an update on all the exploration that's ongoing. In terms of production, we have a news release from July 8th that we can reference in terms of Q2 production results. Endeavor produced a little over 1 million ounces of silver and a little bit more than 11,000 ounces of gold for a total of 2 million ounces silver equivalent, again produced in Q2. Brad, take us through. Does this 2 million ounces of silver equivalent produced, does that fall in line with company expectations? What else do investors need to understand about those Q2 results, please?
Yeah, thanks, Corey, for having me on. Endeavor's on track to significantly beat its production guidance for this year. We were guiding around 6.5 million ounces of production of silver equivalents on the year, and averaging 2 million ounces in each of the first two quarters puts us at about the 4 million ounce mark already. So things are actually going better than planned.
Brad, what sort of updates in terms of how maybe the metals price is impacting or any movements in Mexico in terms of what you guys are forecasting for the rest of this year?
Well, of course, the combination of outperforming at the operations, getting our costs down and our production up, combined with a significant move in the last couple of years in gold and silver prices, has meant that we've had not only a spike of revenues, but a spike of profits and free cash flow. As a result, I'm trying to remember what we reported for cash at the end of the first quarter. It was probably $100 and some odd million. Well, that will be significantly higher when we report the end of second quarter cash. It continues to grow by leaps and bounds every quarter. So it gives you an idea how the silver companies are doing in general. And Endeavor in particular is adding a lot of cash to treasury at this time.
Brad, could you also walk investors through some of the improvements that we've seen at the mines? Because you went through a major initiative over the last year or two at Guanacevi and Bolanitos, and then getting El Compas ramped up. So just how are things proceeding with the turnarounds at those mines? It looks like things are not just on track, but kind of exceeding expectations.
Yeah, so it was a year ago that we wrapped up the turnaround on Guanacevi, and as a result, it had a record year last year, and it's on track to break that record this year. The secret sauce wasn't just, continuous and widespread improvements and change out of certain personnel to improve our management and supervision there. We were also forced to get out of the original discoveries we made back in 2004. And after all those years of mining, instead of being shallow, thick, and rich, they became obviously deeper and narrower and lower grade. And in the low price environment up to 2019, that was a pretty tough proposition. So we initiated a process to develop some new ore bodies at Guanacevi. We completed that redevelopment and shut the old mines down in January of 2020. And the new mines were carrying all of the production, a year and a half ago. And the result was spectacular because we are back into thicker, higher grade ore. And of course, the metal prices took off. So our costs are down, our production is up, the grades are up, profitability up. And it was a great turnaround. Bolanitos continued to turn around until the third quarter last year, and we completed that at year end. And it's now chugging along at expectations.
So then, Brad, let's also talk about the development projects then, too, mostly focused on what's going on at Terronera. That project, I know that this is progressing. You have a feasibility coming up. What updates can you give us from the development side of the company, please?
Yeah, so the importance of our number one development project, which is the Terronera project in Jalisco State, Mexico. Jalisco, by the way, is the state where Guadalajara is located, the resort city of Puerto Vallarta is only about an hour and a half drive from our project site there. So very well located for mining. And we own an entire district called the San Sebastian District. We've been there now for almost 10 years. We made a discovery. We kept growing the discovery. We went through some economic studies. The final economic study, the feasibility study, is expected here in the next 2 weeks. And we intend to bring that study to the board early August for a production decision. Terronera has the potential to double our production and half our costs. The reason, very simply, is that it's thicker and richer and bigger than all of our other mines combined. So we're starting off with an 80 million ounce reserve at Terronera. We've never had more than 5 million ounces reserves at any of the other mines, but we managed to keep replacing reserves year after year after year. At Terronera, we don't need to worry about that, even though the drills are still turning and we continue to grow the resources at Terronera. We have enough in reserves to now go ahead and build the mine. It's about a two-year time frame, starting in September, and it will come on at about 6.5 million ounces of silver equivalents per year. And it's about 60-40 silver gold, so 3.3 million ounces of silver, and as I recall, about 33,000 ounces of gold. It has a minimum 10-year mine life, and the costs in the study released last year were very low. Cash costs were negative, and the all-in sustaining costs for the entire life of the mine were estimated in the $2 to $3 range. So that's per ounce of silver produced. And so this is a very, very important asset for us, and it is a game changer. It will completely transform the company.
Brad, along those lines, we were talking off mic. Just my observation is I am, just in full disclosure, a shareholder of Endeavour Silver, but as someone that's followed your company for a long time, I don't personally feel that it was that the company is getting valued like you're about to double production in the near future. And I still don't think that the market appreciates the size and the scope of Terronera, just as far as how transformative it'll be for the company, not to mention all the other development and exploration assets you still have in the pipeline. But do you think that you're getting the value in the market? And I know it's not normal to get full value for a development asset, but do you think the market really is awake and understands just how transformative Terronera is for the company?
Well, it's a process, and I think that there was some enthusiasm for the project, and therefore in our share price all the way up until June. We have, as of today, given back everything we gained in the stock price since January, so I don't think it's at all reflected in the stock price today, and I think maybe the feasibility study in a couple weeks here will be a really good wake-up call to the market.
Now, as you said, the process is take the feasibility to the board and then make a construction decision on there. What other developments do investors need to be looking for in terms of catalysts for the company to move forward in the near term? Mostly, I guess, then filtering down to the exploration, please.
Yeah, so with production basically steady state now and throwing off profits and with Terronera on the verge of a production decision, we're turning our attention to what next, and we have a development team as well as hiring contractors to build Terronera. So it's not a distraction to our operations people. And the senior staff, executive team are now looking at two things. Parral, which has been an exploration project in our portfolio for some time, also located in Mexico. And it's continuing to be drilled, and we continue to find new resources at Parral. We just want to see how big we can get it before we go to an economic study. And to be honest, we've got another 2 years until Terronera is up and running, and we want a project that's economic. So over the next 2 years, I would expect Parral to go from exploration drilling to resource estimation to economic studies. And following on Parral, we have additional exploration projects throughout Mexico and Chile, actually. But interestingly enough, we've been working hard on mergers and acquisitions, mostly smaller stuff that where we see the potential to make them bigger and better through our expertise and our money. And so don't be surprised if Endeavour finds a way to expand its project portfolio through acquisitions.
Well, Brad, focused on exploration still, the M&A would be very exciting, but you have so much potential for organic growth at some of your projects. So maybe walk us through what kind of like rough idea on the meterage you have planned for projects like Parral, or what kind of drilling will you continue to do at Terronera, and then also just around the existing mines at Bolanitos and Guanacevi and El Compas.
Yeah, I think we budgeted around 55,000 meters of drilling this year. Guanaceví and Terronera were the two biggest projects at about, I'm going to say, 12,000 meters each. And then the rest is split between a number of other properties, property in Chile called Paloma. And of course, Parral is getting a nice chunk this year. Expressed as dollars, we had a $10.5 million budget for the year. We're going to go with the board and ask for more money, by the way, but that 10 million was split about 2.5 Guanaceví, 2.5 Terronera, 2 million Parral, and then the rest was sprinkled around.
Brad, what do you think investors need to be paying attention to for Endeavour? Look, Endeavour's well known as being a silver miner, but you do also have all this exploration going and a couple projects, one in the fairly near term, in the pipeline here. So how do you want investors to view Endeavour Silver in terms of the broad silver space?
Well, we continue to be one of the very few silver companies who actually produce the majority of our revenue from silver. I think First Majestic is the only other one. Everybody else is less than 50% revenue from silver. And that makes us pretty special. As a result, our beta, our leverage of the share price to the silver price is a sector leading, I think, 1.7 or something like that. So that's one thing to look for, is that we're the best leverage to silver in the business. And we fixed our operating problems. So now our projects, our mines are producing better than planned. And nobody else has an organic growth profile like Endeavour. Pretty much every other silver mining company, if they want to grow, they have to buy something. And if you want an example, don't look no further than First Majestic buying the gold mine in Nevada earlier this year. Fortuna, just a few weeks ago, purchased some gold mines in West Africa. And by the way, that also says something, that so all the silvers are going to gold because there's nothing to buy in silver. We, knowing that, decided to focus on growth through the drill bit. And that's where Terronera came from. That's where Parral comes from. That's why we're in Chile. And that's why when we do acquisitions, they're earlier stage so that we can go to work on them and make them bigger through the drill bit.
Yeah, Brad, I was just going to mention that I think one of the unique things about the Endeavour story is that you didn't just buy, existing mines. You built them from the ground up. You have a great exploration team as well as the development and production team. And I know we're not going to focus on the Chile assets, but I just want to throw in there, or get your comments on in the Chile assets. A lot of investors, when they get to a producer, they think, oh, there's no more upside left, or there's no more blue sky. And while you have these massive development projects and pipeline of projects, could you maybe just mention briefly that what you're looking for in Chile when you get to those projects are kind of go big or go home, large district scale projects that could also move the needle down the road? So maybe just walk us through, what the goal is on the Chile assets.
Yeah, so we took some time, several years and several million dollars to build a very attractive portfolio of world-class prospects, early stage, high risk, high reward prospects in Chile. Our Cerro Marquez project, we finally decided to do a proof of concept drilling. It's a massive porphyry copper gold target. We intersected a very large porphyry system. And as a result, we've had a number of the major copper producers in Chile come knocking at our door. So I think the path forward on that project is most likely a joint venture where we'll spend tens of millions of dollars of somebody else's money. Paloma, which we're doing the proof of concept drilling on now, and it's more of a high sulfidation gold system, like a 5 million ounce gold silver system. Again, we got some great validation of the model, big target. And as a result, we've also had a number of gold companies now knocking on our door for Paloma. Ida is, of the three, the one true silver target. It's an extension of the Bolivian Silver Belt. It's in the far north of Chile. It's drill ready, but we don't have our drill permit yet. We're hoping to have it for the fall, and we'll try and make some noise drilling Ida late this year. So that portfolio approach has paid us well. I think we've attracted a lot of attention in Chile, and that we've only gone public on three projects, the three that I just named, but there's three more in the pipeline in Chile. So the whole point there is to make a world-class discovery and again, take it to the next level. Just as Terronera is a game changer compared to our old mines, a new discovery in Chile would be a game changer compared to Terronera. That's why we're there.
All right, Brad, we're going to wrap it up here. Look, a lot going on with Endeavor, and the most encouraging thing, too, is that your mines are up and running efficiently right now, and I know that was the hiccup a number of years ago, but as you've turned it around at a good time when silver is at a generally higher price, now we're seeing some good operational results and still a lot of exploration ongoing in Mexico and down in Chile. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Brad regarding anything going on at Endeavor, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We'll get those answered for you, and we'll also bring Brad back on for another update in about a month's time. Brad, thank you for your time. Thanks for the update. Have a great rest of your week.
Thanks, Corey.